You are Locked On Cubs, your daily Chicago Cubs podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is up, Cubs fans, and welcome to Locked On Cubs. I'm your host, Joe Kilgallen. You could follow me on Twitter or TikTok even. I'm on TikTok. You guys know that? Joe Kilgallen Comedy on TikTok, at Joe Kilgallen on Twitter. You could also listen to my other podcast, the Joe Kilgallen Podcast, if you're into some more silly laughs. I figured I'd promote it up top. Why not? Let's mix it up. The Cubs are in an 11-game losing streak, so we might as well mix things up. And of course, do not forget to follow this great podcast on Twitter. That's at Lockdown Cubs. That's right. I mentioned the Cubs have lost 11 in a row. You guys ever seen the movie This Is Spinal Tap? Where they're like, our speakers go to 11. Our losing streak goes to 11. This is rough. I talked about the five stages of grief yesterday. I think I'm back to anger. I'm going back and forth. I'm yo-yoing between these stages of grief. Not really sure how to handle myself. We'll dive into the game that was as the Cubs lost to the Philadelphia Phillies Tuesday night at Wrigley Field by a score of 15-10. Jake Arrieta. We'll talk about that. Also, a couple little nuggets of where I think the fan base wants the organization to go in terms of, do we spend this offseason or do we go bottom out rebuild? Okay, I'll dive into that and some more. We'll have some more fun stuff, right? We got to keep it fun during these times, right? Let's keep it fun. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the Spotify Green Room app and find one of our lockdown rooms. Okay, Cubs fans. Okay. All right. It's just I was playing a softball game. I was playing in a 16-inch softball game. And I was pitching, and I'm not normally the pitcher. I'm like the backup emergency pitcher. I'm the backup to the backup. So I'm never very comfortable in these situations. But we had a nice little 1-2-3 inning. Was there an error? There might have been one error. So maybe one guy got. In softball, if one guy gets on and that's it, that's the equivalent to a 1-2-3 inning. That's how I view it with 16-inch softball here in the good old Midwest. I think the rest, it's not just Chicago. I think Wisconsin plays a little 16-inch softball too. Maybe Minnesota, maybe. So I then go to my phone after the inning because I know the Cubs game had just begun. And I see a notification from MLB. I've got the MLB At-Bat app. It's actually a really lousy app. It's just not good. It was good a few years ago. And now it's my homepage is set to Cubs. Whenever I open it up, it's not on the Cubs. And I have to click three times to find the score. It's really another just evidence of Major League Baseball just not knowing what they're doing in terms of fan enjoyment. As far as making things easier on their fans, right? I look and I see in the notification, Andrew McCutchen Grand Slam. And I can't help but just shake my head. The first four people reach, or first three people, and then McCutchen, cleanup hitter, cleans the bases. That's a little fun fact in case you guys didn't know why they're called the cleanup hitter, because they're supposed to clean up the bases. And I'm like, oh man, this is just, at that point, what could you do? You can't even get that mad. I didn't think it was like funny either, but it was really just one of those shaking your head things. And I put my cell phone right back in my shoe because that's where I keep it safe during a softball game. You know, I play in spikes and my regular shoes, slide that phone back there. I'm checking in between innings. I was able to watch the last four or five innings. And I did. I watched every pitch because I enjoy talking about the Cubs with all of you. My Lockdown Cubs listeners, you guys are amazing, and I'm grateful for you for listening, and I pledge to you to try to keep this as entertaining as possible the rest of the season. We're going to make it fun. I'm going to try to do some fan interactive stuff. I'm writing out some ideas in which you guys can contribute to the podcast, some fun little stuff where I'll ask you to email or hit me up on Twitter, and I'll read off some of the stuff on the air. I think that'd be pretty cool, right? And then I'll go back to celebrating you guys too. Cubs fans trying to make the best of a bad situation. Now, I do want to note before I get into the ins and the outs and the what have yous of Jake Arrieta's latest abomination. And it does pain me to say that because Jake Arrieta is a guy who won two games in the World Series in 2016. He was 2-0. He threw two no hitters. I was at one of them, one of the greatest games I've ever attended live in Los Angeles. He was an all-star, a Cy Young winner, part of one of the greatest trades in Cubs, nay, baseball history. When Theo Epstein sent over Scott Feldman, a guy he signed to a one-year deal with the sole purpose of flipping him, and he flipped him in June because he's like, if this guy goes back to the Feldman, I think he'll go back to it. We're not going to get anything for him. Let's take advantage of a team that's desperate. Ooh, the Orioles need a starter. Let's see, who do they got? Who could we turn around? We got Pedro Strop and Jake Arrieta. Now, Jake Arrieta was an opening day starter for the Orioles the season before. He was a first-round draft pick. He was a guy that a lot of people believe was going to be a very successful major leaguer, but it just wasn't working out in Baltimore. Had a season in which he had an ERA over 6, much like he's having now. So when he first came over, a lot of Cubs fans were kind of scratching their head, but the Cubs knew. Theo and the boys said, hey, we could change this guy. We could fix what's wrong with him. Baltimore is known for destroying pitchers. We'll talk to him. We'll figure it out. We'll get him right on track. And it didn't take long. When we first acquired him, we sent him to AAA Iowa. He came up and showed some promise. I remember thinking, this guy's got some stuff. I was pleasantly surprised. I didn't think that trade was going to be all that impactful. And then here this guy is just throwing 96 with some movement. I'm like, ooh, this is nice. This is exactly what the doctor ordered. Let's go. Then 2014 starts with a little bit of an injury, so didn't really come up until later on. Only made 25 starts, but in those 25 starts, he was phenomenal. He had a 2.4 earned run average or 2.8 earned run average. He was 10-5, if you like that old school metric, and was dominant. Striking out a lot of batters. He was flirting with a no-hitter a lot that season. He had a game in Boston where he took a no-hitter into the eighth, and when he was removed, the Red Sox fans stood up and cheered for him because it was a great performance. They knew they were seeing something special with this guy and his stuff. I remember him dominating the White Sox in a start that year, thinking, yes. Even my White Sox fan friends were like, what? Where's he coming from? What'd you guys do to make him great? It was an exciting time. Yeah, he had a 5 WAR that season. His 2014 season goes really under the radar because, again, he only made 25 starts, so he didn't qualify in a lot of the league leaderboards, but he was great. So when people talk about the Jake Arrieta run and they go 2015 to 2017, they're wrong. It's 2014 to 2017. And really, he showed strong flashes in the second half of 2013, but that was a really bad year. I think they lost about 100 games, so people weren't really paying attention. And now here we are. It looks like the end of the road. I don't know what they're going to do with Jake. Jake in the post-game press conference was saying that he believes his stuff still plays, that he is far from finished. And I like that, though. I like the confidence in him. And I think every athlete should have that kind of self-belief in them, in themselves, if they really truly believe it. You know, sometimes you succumb to Father Time, but I believe he thinks, you know what, I can still do this. Or he doesn't want to go out the way he's going out. My suggestion is this. We put you on the IL. You go figure some stuff out. In the meantime, we stretch out Keegan Thompson and Justin Steele and give them a look in the rotation. Corey Abbott. These are the arms we need to see. Trevor Williams just got called back. He looked pretty bad, though, too. He gave up a bunch of runs. Because it wasn't just Jake. The Cubs lost 15-10. So there was a lot to go around there. Week looked really good at the end. Wick, I'm sorry, looked really good at the end is what I meant to say. Rex Brothers did okay, but... Winkler didn't look very good, did not. And then, of course, as I said, Trevor Williams gave up a ton of runs, so he did not look very good either. So, but you sent Jake to the aisle. I know a lot of fans are like, Joe, come on. DFA this guy. Get him off of this team. I don't think that's going to happen. I really don't. And I don't – look, again, I've been the sunny optimist – but we all know that this team is going to be selling. This team is going to be trading away whoever they can get anything in return for in the coming days. We're days away from the first trades to be announced. I'm convinced of it. So in a way, Jake Arrieta helped the Cubs today. He did. He said, you know what, guys? You need a higher spot in the draft. I'm going to help you guys get a better draft pick by getting lit up for an inning and 2/3. And then it's going to cost the bullpen and you're going to keep losing and we're going to get that draft pick. And, you know, obviously that's not what he's thinking. Of course, that's not what he's thinking. But I really do think, you know what, if they're not going to DFA him, just cut him, whatever, put him on the IL, see, work with him on the side, see what's what, then send him to AAA Iowa for a rehab start or two. The people in Des Moines would get a kick out of seeing a World Series champion. They'll sell out some tickets maybe. Maybe to try to get some autographs, good for the economy. Helps the economy. Hurts nobody. Goes right back into the Des Moines economy. They need it. sick of hearing those City of Des Moines commercials during every 670 broadcast of the Cubs game. We know how to pronounce Des Moines. Everybody knows how to pronounce Des Moines. That's not weird. The weird thing is pronouncing it Des Plaines. That's weird. Why isn't it Des Plaines? You know what I'm talking about? Do you hear me right now? This is what an 11-game losing streak does to a man. It is what it's what it does to a man or a woman or what have you, whatever you go by. Right? We love everybody. But it's so let him do that. Let him go to Iowa. After, you know, rehab starts, call him whatever you want when you make up this phantom injury for him. And then if he pitches well enough in Iowa, let him come back in the bullpen a little bit. Throw some innings. At that point, you know, September call-ups, it won't bother anybody. That way he could at least save some face. Maybe, you know. Kerry Wood got to, and Kerry Wood, by the way, love Kerry Wood. Part of four Cubs playoff teams. Met him. Amazing human being. One of, you know, an all-time favorite Cub for everyone. The year he retired, his ERA was like 8. He knew it was done. He was able to go back out there on the mound at Wrigley, strike out one batter. He was nasty stuff, though. He was still throwing 97, 98, that hook. Ooh, baby, that curveball. Love it. Gave hitters nightmares. Men's supports groups were formed to talk about how the Cubs' Kerry Wood made them feel that particular day, in which he embarrassed them with the nasty curveballs. His spin rate must have been ridiculous. I wish StatCast was around for Kerry Wood, because you could see it on TV. The visual, you could watch it and be like, that ball broke so much, it fooled the umpire. The umpire flinched and missed the call. That's how his pitch count would often get out of control. But maybe something like that could happen for Jake. I don't know. You know, I'm trying to be a little bit positive. I see a lot of people just tearing into Jake Arrieta on social media, literally tweeting, Jake Arrieta sucks. Jake Arrieta needs to go. He's terrible. Jake Arrieta is an embarrassment. And like, look, this is a human being. You know, you might disagree with his politics and some other such stuff, and that's totally fine. I get that, you know, but in the same regard, I find it funny when Cubs fans are like, this guy's terrible, but if you met him, you'd beg him for his autograph. Not all of you, but I see the ones who are like that, you know, and maybe you already have his autograph, which a buddy of mine probably does. And he was frustrated and tweeted, Jake Arrieta is awful. And I know it's a heat of the moment thing, and these athletes have to have thick skin too, but it's just, I don't know. I just don't like tweets that go after individual person, you know, unless it's just completely boneheaded or they're, you know, a real, like, you know, Milton Bradley. Remember the Cubs when had Milton Bradley, he threw a ball into the stands once because you know how many outs there were. I get that. But I just think the team, you could be frustrated and be like, this team sucks. This team's playing terrible, right? This guy, I don't know. I just don't like the ones that go specifically at someone who has done so much for the organization and has made you happy in the past. It seems a little bit like, okay, here's a guy who you would kill for him to sign one of your World Series memorabilia pitchers. And now you're going to tweet that he's terrible. We have to remind ourselves that they'll see this stuff. They do. You're not texting a friend. It's the internet. And they're curious like everyone else. And I'm sure some of the ones that are more put together ignore all of the hate. But a lot of them also check it out. And I'm sure it bothers them all the time. Right? This episode is brought to you by Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download. And once you're in, you could talk with me, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite team or sport. I will be hosting rooms for Locked On Cubs once a week, very soon. I haven't picked a date and time yet, so definitely follow along on Twitter, follow at Locked On Cubs, join in on the conversation, and you could get in all the stuff. We could have debates, we could do speculation, all sorts of good stuff. Whatever you're thinking, let's hammer it out, Cubs fans. Let's make a path for the future, right? All right, so here's what you want to do. You want to go to download the free Green Room app now, currently available on all iOS devices. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join on all the action. They've got NFL going on, MLB, NHL. You can join all sorts of different groups, follow those groups, get updates, right? That's pretty sweet right there. Can't beat that deal. Green Room is the perfect place to start. You'll find lockdown hosts for all the different sports leagues. So make sure you check that out, everybody. So go download Green Room today, changing the way we talk sports. All right. So yes, Jake Arrieta is not the Jake Arrieta of old. That's obvious. I definitely think he needs to no longer be pitching for the Chicago Cubs for the time being. Come up with your hip hurts, whatever it takes to put you on the IL, Jake. And let me just go backtrack a little bit. You know, I don't want to be one of those people that tells people how to fan, how to voice their disdain. I'm sure some of you maybe like to call into sports radio and say, this guy's terrible. I just don't like personal attacks because you know they're trying their best, right? That's why I brought up the Milton Bradley thing before. When it's mental errors, when it's Javi not knowing how many outs there were and stuff like that, as a fan, I think you do have the right because it's like, hey, man, I just paid a lot of money and you can't focus on something you're getting paid millions of dollars to do. That I understand. But trust me, Jake Arrieta was following one of his worst starts of his career in Milwaukee. The Cubs are on a current 10-game losing streak going into today, or into the last night's game, I should say. Do you really think he wanted to get shellacked like that? I know I was joking saying he's helping draft picks, but trust me, that is not what's going on. These players have pride. They don't want to get lit up. They don't want to strike out. They don't want to be embarrassed. Speaking of striking out, Anthony Rizzo, everyone. Shadev Sharma. I never know how to pronounce his first name. I'm sorry. I think it's Shadev Sharma. Great follow, by the way, on Twitter. Highly recommend. Sorry if I'm mispronouncing your first name. And is a great writer, too. Writes for The Athletic, which I do subscribe to. Worth it. I find that it is worth it. He had some quotes after the game and some interesting stats, one of which, since 2016, Anthony Rizzo struck out three or more times in a game twice in a season. Just once. Let me repeat that. I kind of didn't emphasize the right part. Anthony Rizzo, since 2016, Rizzo has struck out three or more times in a game twice in a season, just once. So in May and September of 2017, the May game was an 18-inning game, too. Right now, in the last 5 days, he struck out three times in a game twice in the last 5 days. Anthony Rizzo has never been the problem when we talk about how the Cubs need to make more contact. Anthony Rizzo today still is a top 20 guy in all of baseball, both leagues, in terms of strikeout rate, and has been that way for a while. He is the one guy. When we had Zobrist, we had two guys. Fowler was about league average, you know. So, and Montero might have been kind of struck out a little bit too much. But let me also emphasize this on the note of strikeouts, if I can, everybody, because there's a lot that I feel like goes, it's not just striking out is all bad. What makes it particularly bad is the fact that we are not producing enough. I'll give you an example right here. I don't know if you guys could tell. I was kind of stalling until I got this stat dug up. I'm going to FanGraphs right now. I wish their website was better, but their information is on point. I'm going for both leagues. Why not go both leagues? For highest strikeouts. The guy who has the highest strikeout rate in all of baseball is Javier Baez. Now, this is all before last night's stats. He was at 36.9%. Then you got Michael Taylor, Brandon Lowe, Joey Gallo. Here's something interesting that some of you might not realize. Two players in the top 20 for striking out the most. At number 16 at 28% of the time, Fernando Tatis Jr. At number 18, you have Shohei Ohtani at 28%. So two of the top 20 hitters in strikeout rate are two of the most highly touted, most talked about players in all of baseball currently, and rightfully so. Now, do Padres fans and Angels fans talk about, oh, man, these guys need to get the strikeouts under wrap? No, they don't, okay? Because why would you when one guy has 27 home runs and the other guy has 31 home runs and they're both hitting, let's see, Fernando Tatis Jr. is 85% above the league average and Shohei Ohtani is 78% above league average. One is a 4.2 war, one is a 3.7 war. Also, one of them is a phenomenal pitcher and has made the All-Star game as both. For the first time in history, because when Babe Ruth was pitching, there was no All-Star game. The first All-Star game was late in the Babe's career, but he still had a home run in the very first game in 1932. Here's a fun Babe Ruth statistic, or stat, or fun fact, I suppose. In 1932 was the last time Babe Ruth made a start. A lot of people knew he was a starter for the Red Sox, but never for the Yankees, because he was such a great power hitter. Like, this guy needs to play every day. So they just phased him out of pitching, even though at one time he led the American League in ERA, I believe, in 1917. Because when he came up, he did both. And he was a great pitcher. Great. Babe Ruth, though, for some reason, the Yankees needed a spot start in 1932. And they said, hey, Babe, what do you say? All right, sure. It was his first time pitching in like 14 seasons. I think it was since 1918 to 1932. Yeah, 14 seasons. What does he do? A complete game, like four-hit shutout or something crazy like that. Just insane how good Babe Ruth was. And Shohei Ohtani is super exciting too. Don't get me wrong. I know everyone says, oh, Shohei Ohtani is better than Babe Ruth. I'm like, I don't get into the game of comparing eras because you can only be as dominant as the era you're playing in. also technology and advancements in nutrition. I mean, these guys were smoking cigars in the dugout. It was just a different world back then. So it's totally not fair to compare the eras in that sense. It's a waste of your time, really. Because if you're just going to go by dominance in one's era, Babe Ruth is clearly the greatest baseball player of all time. He had a season in which he hit more home runs than other teams combined. That would be the equivalent of having someone hit like a 387 home run season. If Shohei Ohtani hits 387 home runs in one season, yes, I will anoint him as better than Babe Ruth. That's how I'll do that there. Okay. So here's an interesting thing, though. I mentioned the Rizzo striking out a lot on the heels of people getting mad at individual players and saying this guy's terrible and that guy's terrible and all that. And again, do whatever you want to. I'm not your dad. I just think you need to know this team is trying. Nobody wants to lose all the time. And the fact that Rizzo has struck out three times twice in the last 5 days tells me that he's pressing. He knows this team is in a bad skid. He knows he's not playing very well, and he's now trying too hard. That's the thing about baseball. You try too hard, you mess up. What's that line in Bull Durham? Don't think too much. You'll only hurt the ball club. I think that's the true thing, because baseball is an incredibly mental game. Obviously, it's physical stuff like that, but if you're not right in the head and you're guessing up at the plate and you're trying to, you know, you're holding the bat too tight, you're trying to do too much, you're going to fail. And I hate to see that, because Anthony Rizzo is one of my favorite Cubs of all time, but he's also one of my favorite human beings. You're not going to find a better person than Anthony Rizzo. Man's a saint. So I don't know. I think it's just getting to him a little bit, the weight of it all. And that's what's the most heartbreaking thing. I know some people are going to be like, oh, it's his back. Man, he's 31 now. He's terrible. I'm like, you're reading too much into these little skids here or there. Is the back a little bit of a cause for concern toward the end? Yeah, sure. But again, he hasn't gone on the IL yet for it. The guy missed 3 games, maybe missed 8 games total this season with a bad back, 7 or 8 games. Like I said the other day on the podcast, he's played at least 140 games every year since 2014. Do backs get better with age? No, of course not. I mean, I don't know. He could start doing some hot yoga or Pilates. I don't know what he could do to stretch out the back a little bit more, make it less. You know what he could do? I hate to even say this. He could go play in a warm weather city where his back won't tighten up in the early April and May cold weather months that we play in here in Chicago that later affects him throughout the summer. I wonder if that would help, because he's yet to have back problems in Arizona during spring training, right? And I don't want to, I hate saying this. I joked about Javier Baez hitting 2 home runs. So, but yeah, I don't know if I mentioned that. I might have done that in my Cubs postgame recap that I do on my personal Twitter account. But Javier Baez hit 2 home runs. He's got 20 and 21 now. He's been driving in runs. He's on pace for, he's got to be getting, you know, we're about the halfway mark, so he's close to a 40-home-run season. Shortstop, he still plays mighty fine defense, has some power. We know he can't get on base. We know he'll drive you crazy with his plate approach, but there is still some value there. Get something back for him. He's raising his value at the right time, and, I mean, I don't like it. I don't like any of this, but this is the truth of the matter, is that Javier Baez – and more than likely Anthony Rizzo and Chris Bryant, which I disagree with. And I'm actually surprised the poll isn't done. I did have a poll question on Twitter on the Locked On Cubs page. So definitely follow Locked On Cubs. The poll question was this, Cubs fans. What do you want for 2022? Assuming we trade most of the pending free agents this month. Spend like a big market or rebuild, go young? So far... and again, there's 13 hours left in the poll, so we're not even halfway through the poll as far as time goes. But 57% say spend like a big market. 43% say rebuild, go young. Interesting. Very interesting to me. This episode is brought to you by Built Bar as well, everybody. Exciting news from our friends at Built Bar, which is a delicious nutrition bar, everybody. Tastes amazing. We've got some killer flavors. They've got coconut. They've got raspberry mint brownie, double chocolate. Mint brownie is my favorite, by the way. Love it. They've got salted caramel. They now also have strawberry orange cookies and cream and German chocolate. Fancy. I think that's the fancy chocolate. And they got a special one going on right now through just this week only. It's a new Built Bar flavor. It's called Grasshopper Cookie. What does it taste like? Because you're probably thinking, what in the world is Grasshopper Cookie? Well, it's Built Bar's version of the classic Thin Mint cookie. You know that Girl Scout cookie we all love? It's got all the flavor without the sugar. That's what I love the most about Built Bar. 150 calories, 17 grams of protein, and only 5 grams of sugar. You cannot beat that. So here's the offer, everyone. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 at BuiltBar.com. All right, speculation season. Who's going to be traded and where do they go? Buster Olney and a lot of other big names. John Heyman, they're saying that Craig Kimbrell is the number one player available on the trade market. He's the delicious dish. He's the one where it's like, oh, what are they serving up over there in Chicago? And the two big teams rumored are the Astros and Oakland A's. Good news with that is that they are division rivals, so to get them competing is a good thing as far as getting the most back for Craig Kimbrell. The kind of bad thing is they don't really have the best farm systems either, those teams right now. And I know that a lot of the farm system rankings I don't put too much into because, again, there was no minor league system in 2020. So it's kind of going off of 2019 and some guesses at progress. You know, I'd heard all these great things about how amazing Brennan Davis looked at the South Bend offsite. They didn't really jump up his prospect ranking because of that. But right now he's doing a great job. I think he was 3-for-4 with 3 doubles today. Just he's totally locked in. He's one of the best young hitters in AA, actually the best young hitter in AA. So I'm telling you, the future's going to be bright for Brennan Davis. Get excited there, Cubs fans. But I think about where Kimbrell could go. The Angels, or not the Angels, I'm sorry, the Athletics, the A's, and the Astros both do have a top 100 prospect or two. Now, the Astros have a pitcher right now in AAA, so he could be ready for the rotation next year. He's ranked about 67th in prospects. I'll do a player profile on him as we get a little bit more information because I still think we're about a week away. I said days earlier, but I still guess we're probably a week away from the week at the earliest for a trade for Kimbrell, I'd imagine. Could be sooner. So maybe I'll break out down tomorrow. I will be talking to the host of Locked On A's. So we'll see if he could sell me on any kind of package. And the reason I'm going to bring this up, I'm going to kind of do a new one each week until some of the dominoes start to fall, sadly. Anthony Rizzo, again, a lot of people don't think he'll be traded because his value is not particularly strong right now. And they still believe that the Cubs will look to extend him. Here's the tricky part of it is now. Anthony, we know, was upset by the low ball offer or what he deemed to be a low ball offer. A lot of people are now saying, oh, look like the right choice there, you know. Still, though, once it's a low ball in your brain, think about it in a regular job. You want a raise. Your boss says, I'll give you this much. You're like, I feel like I deserve this much. We're like, well, what could you do? Sorry, I guess we're at an impasse. It's like, all right, I'll play out the rest of my contract. I'll work here until I can't work here anymore. And it's like, well, hold on. We'll revisit at the end of the year. Fair. Anthony said it himself. He goes, I don't want to talk during the season. We could talk at the end of the season, right? He didn't want any distractions during the year. Respectable. A lot of players feel the same way. Now, you mean to tell me at the end of a year in which Anthony's kind of had some struggles, the team had highs and lows of, you know, great May, early June, terrible June, rest of June, early July, 11-game losing streak, you know, Anthony having some lingering back stuff, his value kind of going down. You mean to tell me the Cubs are then going to come back at the end of 2021 and say, Anthony, what do you say? How's 3 years, $65 million? Do you think Anthony's going to be like, well, please, thank you. No, this is a man. This is a dude who's got integrity and respect. What does he do in his free time? Visits kids with cancer, you know? And I know he's probably going to want that money to give back. That's the thing, too. I always told people, I'm like, you'll never regret overpaying Anthony Rizzo because he'll probably take the excess money and build another children's hospital. So I don't know. I don't know what his plans are. I know he loves Chicago. Loves the being a Cub, loves the fan base. You know what I mean? I that's a fact. All that stuff we know. But things change. Again, he might see how Schwarber was thriving in Washington. He might think to himself, maybe I do need a change of scenery and I'm not having my strongest season right now. Again, still a lot of baseball left to play. He could very well finish with an OPS around 850, which I projected before the season starts, which is mighty fine. Gold glove defense too, right? Team leader. Lot to offer there. But then again, you know, he might welcome it. He'll never say it out loud because people don't want, you don't want to upset fans. I get that. If I played for a team I won a World Series for, that was my home for what, we got him in 2012, almost 10 years. I'm not going to just come out and be like, I'm done. You know, you think if a reporter asks him in a couple of days, do you even want to come back? He's going to be like, no, I don't. I hate being here. This last year has been so much, so stressful. No, he would never say that, you know, because I do think he loves it here, but he also wants to be respected. So I think a good fit for him, if we do trade him soon, the Boston Red Sox. They don't really have a strong first baseman. He gets to go back to the team that drafted him. Lefty bat playing in Fenway. I could see him aging like David Ortiz. Right? They could switch him to DH after a couple years if they look to extend him. I like that fit for Anthony. I do. I could see him playing real well in the AL East. He'd still have to deal with the cold weather early on, though. Their spring training's in Florida, where he's from. Other side of Florida, though. But, you know, people drive. They'll visit. So I guess that's some of the stuff we're going to have to be talking about, Cubs fans. If you have any teams that you'd like to suggest Anthony a better fit for, feel free to tweet at Lockdown Cubs, and I'll read some of them on the air. And, it's going to be a lot of trade talk the rest of the month. It's going to be sad, so try to enjoy as much of it as you can. I appreciate you all listening. You guys are the best. And as always, go Cubs. Check out Locked On Today, everybody. Get all your sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.